This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
With the 10th pick in the NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select
Roseboro, and Trelawney goes down. Mace in the place, Mace and Graham.
Number 15 from the 15, and a back shoulder throw to Tyler Warren. Touchdown.
Warren, wide open, touchdown Loveland.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
You know what it is. We're talking draft because guess what? Tomorrow is the draft. Mark Brody, Marshall here is hanging out with you. Lila Rahimi has the day off. Now joining us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline, Big Ten Network analyst Jake Butt. You can find him on the artist formerly known as Twitter, at JBooty88. Yes, I said that right. At JBooty88. Download the Circa app today. Jake, what's going on, man? How you feeling? It's about that time.
Oh, yeah, it's about that time. Feeling good. And, you know, as a Michigan guy, it's extra exciting because it seems like there's been a number of Michigan guys mocked the Chicago Bears. So, You know, I'm biased. That's always good. And as far as the Twitter handle goes, you know, that's a survival mechanism. I got terrorized growing up with my last name. I played tight end and my last name's Butt. I'll let you guys make
it's
those
perfect.
Connections.
He said it again.
We lean into it a little bit.
When did you start leaning into it? Like, how old were you when you're like, you know what? I'm just going to own it. I'm going to make this mine.
It was a slow transition. I think I was like middle school when I came home to my dad and I was like, Dad, I want to change my last name. I was tired of like the girl I had a crush on might have laughed at me for my last name. I was devastated. And he said, hey, man, just stay patient. Like this will be your thing one day. And, you know, I was pre-NIL in my time in college. Otherwise, I think I would have cleaned house. But I did get a deal. Actually, I've had two different deals with toilet paper companies.
That's hilarious.
Since making it to the big league. That's so it's come awesome. Full circle.
Hopefully, it was not one ply. We're looking for some 2 and 3 ply, extra soft. Actually, not soft, but extra strong players, as we'll say. Because, you know, they give you the choice.
Do we use dude wipes?
I'm not a dude wipes guy. I'm not.
I buy the expensive wipes. I don't go dude wipes.
Yeah. Dude, wow. Listen, man. I don't know. I was new to it. They changed my life. So dude wipes. I'm a dude wipes guy through and through.
You're hilarious.
I'm just glad that personal hygiene is important to everyone in this conversation. What was also important for us is that the Bears do the right thing with that first round pick. People are talking about trading up. They're talking about trading down. They're talking about staying put. They're talking about offense versus defense. It's just over 24 hours before the draft actually starts. Jake, where are you with what the Bears should be doing as far as the first round is concerned?
Okay, so let's start with like the popular pick, which is seems like everybody in town has fallen in love with Ashton Jeancey. And, you know, I'm not as high. I'm not an Ashton Jeancey hater. He's the best running back in this draft, but I'm not as high as everybody else. I mean, I've heard the word used as generational talent. I saw someone say, hey, what's the ceiling and the floor for Jeancey? And the ceiling was Walter Payton and the floor was LaDainian Tomlinson.
What are we doing to the poor guy?
It's ridiculous. And again, I think he's going to be a great NFL back. I think he's going to make a difference for teams. I do not see him as a generational talent. If it was him or Saquon, I wouldn't hesitate to take Saquon. If it was him or Bijan Robinson, I wouldn't hesitate to take Bijan Robinson. I have concerns a little bit of the fact that his game is built off breaking tackles. But when you go back and watch his film from last year and look at the best run defenses he faced, you know, Penn State, you know, a true run defense, shut him down, and he had a number of fumbles. It's much harder to break tackles going from his conference to the NFL. And I have concerns of the speed. Didn't run a 40. Saquon, anytime he touches the ball, is viable for a touchdown. The same is true for Bijan. Jeancey does not have that breakaway speed. So I just think we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit with the Ashton Jeancey talk, because the other piece of this, and I'll shut up, is that I don't see a massive gap between Ashton Jeancey and Travion Henderson. And for the Bears, I think you can get Travion Henderson with one of those early second round picks. I love that value there. And then taking a left tackle, shoring up the trenches. We saw how big of an issue, and I know they made great offseason moves here to help Caleb, but you can never have enough quality offensive linemen. I think they need to invest in the trenches with that first pick.
Jake, but you are just you're speaking my language. You're singing a tune that I can enjoy. Here's why. I'm not saying that you can't be good if you're not a part of the Power Four. I am saying in the NIL era and what we know about how much money is being dished out and what opposing defenses look like, I call myself a Power Four supremacist, which means I'm going to discriminate against you if you did not have to go up against really good defenses. And that's been my argument all along why Ashton Dente, oh, he breaks all these tackles. Like, well, what happened when he had to play a real defense? So I'm completely with you on that. The next question I have for you, though, is about specifically offense versus defense. My partner here, Mark Grody, he's convinced that they should take somebody who can make a difference in defense, even maybe trade up.
Mason Graham. Let's be real specific
okay,
here.
Now you're going to get...
Let's be real. Yeah, you see what I'm doing here with Jake Butt.
It's not hypothetical. Now Jake Butt's going to be with you, I'm sure.
I said, here's what I said, Jake. If the Bears, if he's still there at number 8 or number 9 to the Saints, that is where I would trade up and go get Mason Graham and ditch all the offensive line stuff.
Listen, I it's just as far as Mason Graham as a prospect, it's been shocking to see him slip a little bit. At one point, you know, he was in the conversation of best player in the draft. And I don't know what changed. Like, hey, maybe it's the arm length or the measurables, but the tape is undeniable and he's going to be a phenomenal difference maker across the defensive line. But this is I think the Bears are in a really great spot at pick 10 because there is significant uncertainty in this draft. Really, what we know is the top three picks are going to be Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter. Like that is as much as we know. Aside from that, we don't really know. We don't know if it's going to be Jente and Mason Graham at 4-5 or someone else, Will Campbell. So the Bears can sit back at 10. They have the luxury to sit back and watch how the board plays out in front of them. They may not even have to trade up for Mason Graham or even Will Campbell. What's likely to happen is someone's going to fall that the Bears like, and they have the luxury to sit back and let that all play out in front of them. But I am with you. If you have to give up minimal resources to guarantee you can get a guy like Mason Graham, I think that's a no-brainer to go do.
Is the second round pick a minimal resource in your eyes?
If maybe you do a second round swap, I would not give up my second round pick in a bubble. I would not say take my second round pick to move up two spots. No,
okay.
You'd have to give me back something in return.
And if it's, just to be clear here, if you get the 10 and Mason Graham is there and Will Campbell is there, yeah, you stole team Mason Graham there? Yeah.
Mason Graham's a more, I feel much more comfortable saying Mason Graham is a day one starter, impact player, But I'm also not as concerned about the arm length with Will Campbell as others are. I understand the conversation. I have short arms. I would try to block Von Miller in my time in Denver, and he has really long arms. I know the issues that can create. But I look at Will Campbell in this tackle class, like what gets lost in the trenches is, a good left tackle is like a martial artist. You need to, set to the right place. You need to feel the way a defender's leaning or see their moves ahead of times. And Will Campbell's the best technician of anyone in this draft at the tackle spot. So it makes up for maybe half an inch of arm length. I think left tackle is a bigger need and a chance to be a bigger impact for your young quarterback in Caleb Williams. But Mason Graham is a better player and a more surefire pick.
That is the voice of Jake Butt, Big Ten Network analyst. I want to remind you where you can follow him on social media. That would be JBooty88, because I just like saying JBooty88.
Who doesn't?
Letting the people know. Okay, so let's go to those second round picks. There's two of them there. What do you think the Bears can get done based on what you just said about the wide openness of that 10th pick? What are you looking for the Bears to try to do with those second round picks?
Okay, so I kind of buried the lead here. I'm not taking a running back with the 10th pick. If the Bears decide to trade back, I might be in the business of taking Amarion Hampton if he's still available, between 15 and 20. Okay. But let's assume they stay put. They don't take a running back. I'm taking Travion Henderson immediately. If he's available, I'm taking, Quinshon Judkins from Ohio State. I'm taking a running back that I believe is going to be at least 80, 85% of what you're going to get with Jente with that first pick. And then another thing is we've heard the Bears mocked Tyler Warren or Colston Loveland, both great tight ends. I covered them with the Big Ten Network. I think they're phenomenal prospects. But I, again, picking 10 tight end is a little too high for me. I think you're reaching. I'd be looking at a tight end there, maybe a Mason Taylor from LSU. You know, maybe I'd even look at a Terrence Ferguson, mm-hmm. probably in the third round from Oregon. But I'd be looking at a tight end running back combination, weapons really, with those second round picks.
Yeah, Ferguson has gained some momentum. We've heard some people on this very radio station who think that Terrence Ferguson could be just as good as Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland someday. But Jake, if you would discern between the two, Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland, and who you think is the better prospect?
I think it's a dealer's choice. I know it's a boring answer, but let me explain. They're different prospects, even though they both play tight end. You know, Tyler Warren is more, I think he holds weight more natural. Like he can be 260 pounds easier than Colston Loveland can. He's more of a straight line athlete, like dump the ball into the flat and he's going to go run down the sideline, seam routes, deep crossers. I think Tyler Warren's better after the catch. He can hurdle guys and run over guys. And I think he gives you, you know, Ben Johnson, we know he loves trick plays. He gives you some of that with what we saw him do at Penn State with the quarterback background. But that being said, with Cole Kmet on the roster, I think Tyler Warren and Cole Kmet, you have a little bit of redundancy of talent. Colston Loveland, what you're getting is a wide receiver with a tight end build. Mm-hmm. Colston Loveland is like he has a Travis Kelce type movement ability to him. He's an excellent route runner. And you can keep Cole Kmet as your Y tight end if you're Chicago and use Colston Loveland in the slot and have him run any single route that you would have your receivers run. And he's going to be capable of doing that. Dependable hands. And watching his film at Michigan last year, they had no quarterback and no wide receiver weapons. So he had to beat the opposing team's best cover corner. And he was getting safety help and double teamed consistently. So you go back and watch his film, and this guy is an artist at running routes. I think it depends on what type of system you want to run. If it was the Bears, knowing you have Cole Kmet, and I like Cole Kmet, I think he's a good tight end, I would rather have Colston Loveland to more so complement Kmet.
I think looking at that tight end thing, we're just so used to Ben Johnson, what he's done with the tight ends. We're wondering if there will be serviceable guys, or not even serviceable, better than serviceable guys, and you're giving us names, so I like that part of it. As far as defensive line goes, if they don't do anything at 10, how deep do you see this class being as far as the defensive line? Because here in Chicago, as you know, Jake, getting to the quarterback is something that just has not happened at a frequent enough basis.
Yeah, it's deep, and it's the defensive line almost reminds me, it's a theme just in general of this draft where there seems to just be general uncertainty. And you wonder, you know, a guy like Mike Green from Marshall, like how far is he going to slide because of the attitude problems or some of the off-field issues? I love a guy like Kenneth Grant out mm-hmm. of Michigan, or Tyleek Williams from Ohio State. I think he's a first-round talent, and he could easily slip there into the second round. So you could start to get some value, but that's another example of maybe trading back into the first round if there is a defensive lineman that slips and isn't available late in the first round. Maybe you trade back to guarantee you can get a difference maker that you really like there late in the first.
I love the conversation about edge rusher, as you said, beyond Abdul Carter and Jalen Walker. And the guy that I think is one of the more intriguing dudes is Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M. What do you think about him?
I'm just freak athlete, okay? And what happens this time of year is we fall in love with measurements and speed and what a lot of NFL teams, they're kind of like they're like the old like relationship meme, which is like an NFL coach says, I can fix him. They see this raw potential and raw power and say, man, I'm going to turn him into a freak. But my question is why? Where's the production to match the freakish capabilities? And that part's concerning. It's more of a baseline philosophy where I would rather take production and excellent film over potential because of measurables at the combine. I've seen that burn more teams than it's helped in the past. That's why I like Mason Graham. You know, Mason Graham is not a guy that's going to test out of the gym with freakish measurables, but the film is just so undeniably good. That's why I would take him inside the top five. But with Shamar, it's like, hey, listen, where is the production to match up the freakish capabilities?
It would be risky, I think, because I mean, you know what the potential ceiling is for somebody like the but 1.5 sacks for 3 straight years, and you've already brought in Dio Dangbo, who is similar in that way in terms of not getting to the quarterback.
I just love that we're talking about this, and that in my opinion, this is a crazy draft, Jake, in that it can go a lot of different ways. With that being kind of the setup here, who's your favorite player in this year's class? Just you personally, who do you love in this year's class?
Love that question.
Yeah, it's probably Mason Graham. I'd say one guy that we haven't mentioned is Kenneth Grant, his running mate next to him. He's like a double wide refrigerator. He's a freaky athlete at like 340 pounds with extremely long arms. There's this famous clip where Penn State's running back broke through the line of scrimmage and looked like he had a touchdown. And then Kenneth Grant, who's again 340 pounds, ran him down, hawked him down, and tackled him. I personally, you know, we have the conversations of like, who's the most athletic? What's the most athletic position on the field? I think the defensive tackles at their size, when you watch them move, are the most athletic specimens on the field. And I think Kenneth Grant is probably the biggest freak specimen of them all.
Well, we appreciate you sharing that with us. I'll be keeping an eye on Kenneth Grant if my eyes can move fast enough to keep up with the big fella, if you will. Jake, I hope you have a fun draft over the next few days, and thanks for spending some time with us on Score Middays.
Always a pleasure. Yeah, looking forward to it, guys. Take care. Have me back on. Hey, if it's a Michigan, if we see some Michigan players here in Chicago, happy to join you guys and break them down further.
We will hold you to that, Jake Butt. Joining us here on Score Middays, Jake, the Big Ten Network analyst. Great job by him to fill us in, to validate your Mason Grant takes. You get a Michigan guy on here. That was very easy for you. That was a layup.
But you wanted to leave the name. You were going to generalize, and I was very specific.
But I was trying to cut out the bias. The Michigan bias.
And you can't do that. I mean, the Michigan bias is heavy. Did he say the best player in the draft is Mason Graham? I mean, maybe I did like the fact that he called the. So we've had a fridge in this town. Now we could get a double fridge.
Did
you hear that? A double wide fridge.
As long as they don't hand him the ball at the 2-yard line with the game on the line, I'm good with it.
Well, I mean, it worked once. I don't know in the 80s. That is, we'll let Ben Johnson do his thing though.
All right, up next, you know what time it is. Every day this week we've been giving it to you. It is Who's Your Guy? You know what to do. Call us up. Let us know who your guy is. The number 312-644-6767. Light up the phone lines. Also a reminder, if you're at work and you can't quite hold and do all that, just hit us up on the meatball machine within the Odyssey app. Leave a voice message and tell us who's your guy. Mark Grody, Marshall Harris will go through the prospects. On the other side, you're listening to Middays on The Score.
Score Middays presents Who's Your Guy on 670 The Score.
My guy is Landon Jackson, defensive end, Arkansas.
My guy, Woody Marks, running back, USC.
My guy, Ashton Jenty.
My guy is Tyler Warren, Penn State.
It's that time. Who's your guy here on Score Middays alongside Mark Grody? I am Marshall Harris. Give us a call, 312-644-6767, and we will tell you about your guy. But first, you got to tell us who is your guy. And we will start with Dave. Dave, who's your guy? Dave, you there?
How you doing, guys? Bears.
How
you guys doing?
We're great.
Bears.
To all the perpetrators stealing my bit yesterday, today, and tomorrow, just know you got to go full Borat. Oh. My guy is Tonka Hemingway, defensive tackle, South Carolina.
Thank you, Dave. Tonka Hemingway out of South Carolina, 6'3". 284 pounds. He is 23.48 years old. They're just getting older and older. He is the 32nd ranked defensive tackle, according to Dane Brugler's The Beast. Let's talk about his strengths.
They cannot be replaced. Not that talent.
Right. Yeah, there's no question about it.
He's got a lot of gas in his tank. Active big man with body control and lateral mobility. The teammates say he is the best basketball player on the team. Can be a wrecking ball with initial momentum off the snap. Effort prevents big plays and is one of the main takeaways from his tape. Mixes up rush, attack with spins, clubs, and swims. Effective on stunts. Shows pad level in the run game. Teammates and coaches give strong feedback on his work ethic. Played in double-digit games each of the past five seasons and toughs out minor injuries. What about the weaknesses?
When Joe Buck's on, I turn the sound down.
We're turning the sound up. No Joe Buck here. Lacks ideal frame and girth for the interior. Can be bumped or tossed off spot in both the run and pass game. More strong than powerful, struggles to withstand force. Rushes tall and will be denied gaps. Struggles to regain rush momentum once initially stopped. Plays hard, but hands, moves, need more violence to help him escape blocks. Unreliable tackler. Needs to be a better finisher once he makes contact. In summary, undersized for interior work, he can be jarred off balance once engaged and tossed to the ground. So NFL offenses won't hesitate to run at him. Overall, Hemingway probably isn't going to have a ton of success as a pure take-on player in the NFL, but he moves well for his size and has a feel for keeping himself freed up to chase the football. His best fit will be in a scheme that helps keep him clean, potentially outside the edge. His grade, 6th to 7th round.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, guy in the Tonka, he should probably be a little better than that. let's go to Brian. Brian, you're on the score. Who's your guy?
Man, I really hope I don't let Dave down here, but my guy is
Pretty
Riley
good.
Mills, defensive tackle, Fighting Irish.
Okay, Riley, like you said, Riley Mills, defensive tackle, Notre Dame, 6'5", 296. He is 20, if we're doing this thing, 23.68 years old. His strengths.
Didn't he save somebody's life at an airport with doing the Heimlich maneuver?
Good-sized athlete and flashes both quickness and power. Leads with physical hands to bully, snatch, or pull blockers' weight against him. Rolls his hips into run blocks to stack, peak, and make stops in the gap. Mm. His weaknesses.
You can show me anything you want. There's no way you can convince me he wasn't the
middling arm length, which will be more noticeable against NFL talent. Upright play style. Once he loses leverage, he has a tough time gaining it back. Oh boy. Bull rush stalls when the base narrows. In summary, first time doing this. As a pass rusher, Mills plays a tad high and tight and makes himself a large target, but he launches out of his stance with purposeful hands to generate pressure using various push-pull maneuvers. In the run game, he flashes the ability to attack and shed at the point of attack, but he too often gets lost in the traffic and is late to rally. Overall, Mills is an energetic player with quickness, play strength, and a feel for getting off of blocks, which makes him fit for an even three technique, a B-gap rusher, an odd front. His late-season knee injury will affect his draft spots, but his talent belongs in the NFL on a defensive line rotation. Grade, 4th or 5th round.
That's Brian's guy. If you want to tell us who's your guy, call us at 312-644-6767. Up next, Alex, who's your guy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? My guy is J.J. Pegues, defensive tackle, Ole Miss.
J.J. Pegues, defensive tackle from Ole Miss. He is the 22nd defensive tackle in Dane Brugler's The Beast. 6'3", 309 pounds. He is 23.41 years old. His strengths.
You haven't destroyed very many brain cells at all.
Well, that seems to be a positive. Burly big man through his waist and hips, and he carries it very well. Plays with both quickness and bend to attack in different ways. Roots underneath pads of blockers to establish the point of attack. Flashes lower body strength to wear down blocker's edge. Natural feel for rushing angles when working back to the quarterback. Looks to get his hands involved whenever possible. A short yardage back accounted for 11 first downs, 10 broken tackles, and 7 touchdowns on 21 carries in 2024. A-plus character received the 2024 Chucky Mullins Courage Award and changed to number 38. Mullins' number awarded to the University of Mississippi defensive player who embodies Mullins' legacy of courage, leadership, perseverance, and determination. Weaknesses.
The guy is burned literally every bridge he's walked across.
That seems destructive. Power shows up in spurts, not droves. Tends to be short stepper in his movements at times. Over-reliant on initial attack and needs to transition better to counters. Wins the battle but loses the war when he can't maintain initial control. Improved technique required to help compensate for average length. Need to see a better plan against the run, including when facing double teams. In summary, an Oxford native, that's Oxford, Mississippi, not Oxford, England, nicknamed the Mayor, Pegues is a unique prospect because he doesn't play with as much power as one might expect for his size, but he's a much better mover than most 310-pounders. He has an offensive background, which Lane Kiffin tapped into, especially in 2024, with an 85.7% conversion rate, that's 18 for 21, and short yardage. Overall, Pegues is a compactly built athlete with the quickness and play strength to give blockers trouble from different alignments, although his ability to access counters and show better resolve will be his key to carving out a permanent defensive role. His versatility on offense should only boost his chances of locking down a roster spot. Another mini fridge? Who knows?
Oh!
His grade, 4th to 5th round.
Okay, hold on. So there's a mini fridge, there's been a regular fridge, and we've been told about a double wide fridge.
Double wide fridge.
Today, this is quite a day.
Double wide fridge holds more, by the way.
Yeah, they do. The last, I feel like every locker room has a guy nicknamed the Mayor. The last guy to be nicknamed the Mayor in the Bears locker room. Anybody want to take a quick crack at it? Anybody? Robbie Gold was the last guy to be named the Mayor in the Bears locker room. Let's continue. Let's go to Mark. Mark, who's your guy?
Hey, Mr. Grody, Mr. Harris, great show. My guy is Mr. Walter Nolan, defensive lineman, Ole Miss.
I like Walter Nolan, 6'4", 300 pounds on the dot, so they say. Third-year player, he is 21.5 years old. Strengths for Walter
Bananas.
Nolan.
Bananas. I love them.
Don't start grobbering me. Explosive first step with equally explosive hand. His initial movements to cross, shoot the gaps, and live in the gap. Weaponizes length to stab and flat. Twitchy slap over the arm move. Quick to find. None of this stuff makes strong tackler in close quarters. His weaknesses.
I might swerve in that corner. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Can do better. Staying square when moving laterally down the line. Reacts to the read second, leaving him out of position at times. Rush plan is based more on activity than cohesion. Personal foul on the 2024 Arkansas tape at extracurricular efforts as well. So those are the weaknesses. In summary, Mr. Harris, was his length and surge off the ball, with his length and surge off the ball, Nolan creates immediate force and can be a play wrecker in how quickly he penetrates the gaps. He doesn't rely on just quickness to win, but there are inefficiencies in his attack, especially when he is late to read the ball. Overall, Nolan has areas of his game that require maturing, but his flashes are big time disruption and his initial burst as fast physical. His hands regularly affect the backfield action. He will be attractive for NFL teams looking at an active gap shooter with high-end upside. His grade, 1st or 2nd round?
That's a good grade. A good grade.
Yes.
All right. It's who's your guy? Don't worry. Mark, Neil, Jamal, yeah, we're coming back to you guys, and we will find out who your guy is. That's when Score Middays returns. Who's your guy? Another segment of that coming up with Mark Grody, Marshall Harris on 670 The Score. Oh, no way, a policeman knew my name. back on Score Middays with Mark Brody. I'm Marshall Harris. We're asking, who's your guy? Let's get right back to it. I know y'all been waiting. Neil, you're up. Who's your guy?
Yeah, Neil?
You guys hear me?
Yes. There. Who's your guy?
Jack Kaiser, linebacker, Notre Dame.
Did you say Benjamin?
Jack Kaiser.
Jack Kaiser.
Oh, audible.
Sounds like an audible to me.
Let's
find the
information. What happened?
Jack Kaiser. Momentary.
Oh, Jack Kaiser.
Don't have a Jack Kaiser listed in the... I think we have to go to the next person.
Wait a minute. Is this a Simpson joke? Jack, wait a minute. Did you say... All right, shall we move on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Shall we move on? Let's go to Jamal. Jamal, who's your guy?
All right, all right. My guy, Ali Gordon II, Oklahoma State Cowboys. Come on down.
All right. We got a running back. We got a running back situation here. Ali Gordon II, Oklahoma State. The man is 6'1", 226, a three-year starter. He is just over 21 years of age, and this man has strengths.
He ended up killing her, and then they were shopping for making love and stuff.
Jesus, Bob. Dead. Strengths. Wait a minute. This is I've never seen a line like this. Sports, good-sized, athletic build. Galloping speed. Once he stretches out long-legged strides. This is an interesting guy. Open field burst to destroy second-level pursuit angles with acceleration. Fascinating. He does have weaknesses.
And he's going to be dead.
Yeah. Yep.
That's a weakness.
That's what I thought. I saw it coming. Dead. Runs upright. Yeah, that'll kill you. And struggles to make himself small. Needs to embrace and tap into power element to send messages when finishing. Guilty of slowing. What happened to the galloping? Slowing / stopping his feet. We're galloping, and then we're stopping, apparently. Instead of dropping pads and diving through impending contact. In summary, Gordon has somewhat of an identity crisis as a runner. Yes, I see that. He gallops and he stops because he has a wide, balanced gait and the acceleration to make defenders miss. But what he faced in the Big 12 wasn't close to the NFL pursuit that he'll see, and he must embrace his size to be more of a banger. That's what she said. Through contact. Overall, Gordon runs with life in his legs that makes him a threat anytime he touches the rock. But he must improve his decision-making and physically as a finisher to be consistent downhill runner. He promises as a blocker and a pass catcher will help his chances of an NFL or being on an NFL depth chart. Fourth round prediction.
All right. Next up, let's go to Rick. Rick, who's your guy?
The Bears.
Is that your
and
guy?
Now, my guy, Pat Bryant.
Okay, Pat.
That is your guy.
Pat.
So Pat Bryant, he's a wide receiver out of Illinois. Not ranked in the top 100, but he is the 21st ranked wide receiver. He's 6 foot to 204 pounds, 22.37 years of age, out of Jacksonville, Florida. Let's talk about the strengths.
Looked good. He was extremely, alive out there.
See, don't be dead, be alive. Good-sized athlete with natural coordination and play strength can get off the jam using a variety of different releases, showed improved pacing to execute double moves or attack leverage based on coverage reads, career high in targets, 78, and career low in drops, just one, in 2024. Sneaky run after the catch threat on tape with nose for maximizing space and avoiding pursuit angles. Voted a senior captain by teammates and described as a warrior by Illinois coaches and he tied the Illinois single season record with 10 touchdown grabs as a senior. What about those weaknesses?
How many does he got?
He's got 5,059 yards.
That's it.
In a career?
Yeah, in his career.
Roma Dunes, a classic.
I know what that was talking about. He's like, you want me to beat that guy? I guess he did. Anyway, back to the weaknesses for Mr. Bryant. Marginal deep speed, not going to run by NFL defensive backs. Doesn't have drive gear to threaten corners. Average suddenness and must sharpen route breaks in other ways. Plays a tad upright, would benefit from a more consistent body sync at tops of routes. Play barely any special team snaps in college. In summary, a good-sized target. Bryant plays with quick eyes and confident hands to snare fastballs and get downhill immediately. He doesn't have a threatening vertical gear, and his separation burst is average, but he skillfully uses his frame and subtle pushes through the route to finish back shoulder grabs, and crowded catch windows don't appear to disrupt his concentration. Overall, Bryant isn't super dynamic, which will be tougher to mask against NFL competition, but his body coordination and ascending technique match well with his natural tracking skill. He projects as a backup possession target who can fight for a wide receiver 2 or wide receiver 3 role in the right situation. His grade, 5th round.
All right. Gentlemen, bring me Kevin. And Kevin, who is your guy?
Gentlemen, happy draft day eve. Bears. I like Elijah Arroyo, tight end from Miami.
Elijah Arroyo, indeed, out of the U. 6'5", 254, a four-year starter. He is 22 years old. His strengths.
Morning, Molly. Morning, Moon. Morning, Sunshine. Morning, Mitch. Morning, Marshall.
Fluid, loose athlete for the position with above-average speed. Strides are light and long, which allows him to eat up ground quickly and be a factor on the scene, posts and fades. 34.3% of catches in 2024 went for 20 yards or more. And then in parentheses, for context, Brock Bowers finished the final season at Georgia at 23.2%. Are there weaknesses?
Anybody who says you can have a good time without drinking is crazy.
I mean, probably true. Doesn't have the most, these are weaknesses, doesn't have the most expansive college resume, 46 catches over four seasons. Saw a lot of free release in college, often revealed intentions too early, and has room to grow as a route runner. In conclusion, an awesome athlete at 250 pounds, Arroyo gets in and out of the breaks with efficiency and speed and consistently creates separation, which makes him a threat to score at any time that he touches the ball. He will need to prove himself through contact and the passing game at the next level, where he won't be given as much space to operate. Overall, Arroyo needs further development as a route runner and a blocker to reach his ceiling, but he can bring an immediate vertical element to an offense with his speed, fluidity, and focused ball skills. He is easy to project as an NFL starter and a weapon for which defenses must account. He is projected as a second-round pick.
Last Hoosier guy of the day goes to Steve. Steve, who's your guy?
Good morning, boys.
Bears.
Afternoon. My guy is the same as another guy called in, but you guys must, I don't know how you didn't find him. His name is Jack Kaiser with a K. He was our captain at Notre Dame, linebacker. He's a bad dude. You got to find him somewhere. I don't understand it.
Oh no, we found him. What happened was he switched it up in the middle of the phone call who he said he was going to take, and then he's like, Jack Kaiser, and I was like, wait, what? And I was like, I thought he said Heiser, but it is Jack Kaiser, linebacker out of Notre Dame, not in the top 100 on Dame Brugler's The Beast, but he is the number 12 linebacker, so now we can talk about him. That, of course, begins with his strengths.
He's been in college since 2017.
We call that experience. Covers a lot of ground and moves smoothly in everything he does. Quick trigger and attacks blockers with temperament and technique. Breaks down with control to finish ball carriers in tight or open spaces. Matches up well with running backs and tight ends 101. Voted a team captain. Here's what an NFL GM had to say. Sometimes you interview a kid and he is exactly what you expected. That's Jack, an A-plus human. Iron Man toughness set the Notre Dame record for games played with 70. Weaknesses.
No Diddy joke? I thought you were going to have at least one or two Diddy jokes there.
No, I couldn't do that. Are you kidding?
Diddy or Didney? I don't know. Shorter arms and frame appears maxed out. Comfortable working downhill, but too willing to sacrifice himself versus lead blocks. Average play strength and leverage when attempting to work through traffic. Inconsistent locating routes around him in coverage. Not much nuance as a pass rusher. Roughing penalty on the 2024 Army tape. Older prospect, he'll be 25 as a rookie.
Oh, my God.
In summary, Kaiser's a well-rounded player with read-react quickness to drive, drop, and find the football, though he will have issues shedding once NFL blockers get their hands on him. Though he might not be a top-tier athlete, he doesn't look like a liability in space. In space.
In space.
In space.
In space. And like the pigs in space, right?
Yeah. In space. Exactly like that, actually. And finds his balance to consistently finish tackles. Overall, Kaiser is able to key run, pass quickly, to consistently be around the ball, and he has the competitive skill to be a solid backup and special teamer at the next level. Considering his character and tools, he will make it difficult for NFL coaches to cut him. His grade, 4th to 5th round. Mark, how was your first Hoosier guy?
I got to be honest. Like, the first segment, I had a little anxiety going, but you pulled me through. I felt it got comfortable. It's like, this is a score staple, and there's just so many moving parts to it. So I feel okay. I need a few deep breaths. I thought I was okay.
Hey, Mark, you're my guy.
Oh, you carry me, Marshall.
No, bro.
You spoil me.
No, bro.
Yeah, you spoil me.
We got this.
You did the day I was sick, though.
Oof. It's like the three-legged race. Our legs are tied together, and we're just trying to hop on down. We're going to continue the NFL draft conversation and go back to Hallis Hall and listen to some things that we picked up. Coming up at 1:25 now will be Russell Dorsey joining us. But
in studio.
I think he's in studio, right?
That's what I was told.
Russell Dorsey's in studio.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, Russell Dorsey's in studio at 1:25. But before then, Mark Grody, very specific things he heard from TJ Edwards he wants to get into. Loves him for the city of Chicago. Is he going to get 10 Bears? I don't know about all that. But we'll find out. More 670 Score middays on the way.